Luke 21, 1 through 4, Jesus was in the temple observing all the wealthy wanting to be noticed as they came with their offerings. He noticed a very poor widow dropping two small copper coins into the offering box. "Listen to me," he said. "This poor widow has given a larger offering than any of the wealthy, for the rich only gave out of their surplus, but she sacrificed out of her poverty and gave to God all that she had to live on." I don't want to get tied up in offerings versus tithes this morning or things like that. I want to get tied up in the heart position that we approach God with. And what I would say to you that is in that my life, most of the people I know that are radical givers, you'd never know it because they do it in secret. They don't walk around saying, "Oh, I gave this or I gave that." They don't look for recognitions. They don't ask for a plaque on the wall that says I was a big donor. They just do it, and it happens, and it all goes on under the surface, because the Bible says that when you do something in public, you get the reward instantaneously. You want to be recognized, you get recognized. But God says what we do in secret is what gets multiplied and blessed. And so we have this picture here, right? And we have all these people coming in and saying, you know, "Hey, look at my checks bigger than your check," right? Or "my wheelbarrow full of whatever is bigger than yours," right? Or I give more times a week than you do, and here comes this little old lady. And Jesus says, "Look at that. That's the heart of the giver that I want. She's given everything she has." And that, you know, we could sometimes construe that to mean, "Oh, God wants to take everything I have." No, he just wants to know that your heart is in it as a partner. Not because she had to. She didn't give it because she had to. She gave it because she wanted to. And God never lets us run out of supply. Never. I remember as a kid, like I said, we really didn't have much for like the first 10, 12 years of my life. But I do remember this. Anytime my dad could help somebody, he always did it. And you would say, "Well, we could really use new sneakers or something like that." But he would say, "Well, somebody else really needs it more than we do." And that was just, again, another example that modified my life and my thinking about how we ought to live. And so the rich here in this example, they're giving out of their abundance. It's easy to give out of your abundance, even though people even in their abundance don't give. But it's easier to give out of your abundance. It's harder to give when you don't have it. But if it's your mentality that you only have a little, then that's what makes it hard. If it's your mentality that God gave this to me in the first place, then it's not too hard to say, "I have to acknowledge God because he provided this in the first place." And I don't know how I'm going to do this. I know a woman that I worked with for a long time. We worked together, and her life has been really difficult in a lot of senses because of some of her own decisions. But more recently, in the last 2 years, she calls me and starts telling me about, "Oh, I started tithing and I can't believe what's happening to my life." And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to mess around with what God was doing. I just listened. Well, I did this, and all of a sudden, this broke free, and this broke loose. And, like, she was telling me stuff like you would think that she was, like, listening to messages and been church her whole life. She knows none of that. She's been through all kinds of mystic religions and things like that. But in terms of knowing, like, the principles that we know about God and our responsibility to partner with him, she knew none of that. All of a sudden, she heard this message. She started going to Bethany up in North Jersey, and she heard about tithing, and she said, "Oh, I'm not doing that. I should be doing that." And she wasn't really in a place to be doing it, but she said, "I'm going to do it anyway because I know I should be, and I'm going to make up for some stuff that I know I should have done." And suddenly, her life just shifted in a radical way. She started telling me all these testimonies. I couldn't believe it. She actually made me feel like I wasn't giving like I should be. She provoked me to jealousy around giving. Matthew 23:23. It will be bad for you teachers of the law and you Pharisees. You are hypocrites. You give God a tenth of the food you get, even your mint, dill, and cumin, but you don't obey the really important teachings of the law. Be fair, show mercy, be faithful. These are the things you should do, and also do the former. So what's Jesus saying? So interestingly enough, Jesus didn't say to the widow who was putting in her last mite, oh, you shouldn't do that because I'm here now. Jesus didn't come to circumvent the law. He came to fulfill the law. And there's a rationale for why God planned it this way, right? You can't build something without the resources. I know we could say God wants to do something, he'll do it. He does it through us. He partners with us. We partner with him and we build his kingdom. It takes resources to build a kingdom, right? We have to keep the lights on. We have to keep the air conditioner on. Whatever it is we have to do to make this a way to extend the kingdom, that takes resources. Can some of it happen miraculously? A lot of times it does. But that doesn't resolve us from our responsibility to be partnering with God. It's an invitation to be partnering with God. It's not a demand, it's an invite. And Jesus doesn't say to the widow, oh, don't do that. I'm here now. I'm doing away with that. He actually applauds her for the generosity of her heart and the position of her heart. And then he talks to the religious people of the day. And what are they doing? Well, they're doing a tenth of their goods, right? But they're treating people like garbage. And Jesus says, well, I love the tenth. You should be doing that. He doesn't say, don't do the tenth and treat people better. He says, do the tenth and change your behavior. Right? So there's the other side. We can give all we want to the kingdom. It doesn't abolish our sin. It doesn't cover up our faults. It does nothing. In that sense, it's dead seed. If we're sowing and our behavior is inconsistent with a Christ-like lifestyle, we just kill the seed. And these are the people that are supposed to know. These are the people that run the church in their day. And yet, on the face of it, they want it to look like they're obeying God. But their treatment of people negates what they're doing with their resources. And so it's tricky, right? God doesn't leave any of our life untouched. And so the more we're willing to open to him, the more he's going to expose where it is we have to shift and come into alignment with him. This is Jesus himself, Matthew 17. Jesus and his followers went to Capernaum. There the men who collect the 2 drachma tax, temple tax, came to Peter and asked, does your teacher pay the temple tax? Now again, let's not get bogged down here about the tithe and the tax, right? You can make an argument they're two different things. But the temple tax is for what? Anybody know? That's to keep the building going. It's to take care of the priesthood. Right? And the Bible says that a worker rightly deserves his reward. Right? And if we look throughout all the New Testament, you'll see, interestingly, you'll see all these concepts. You'll see Paul, right, saying at one point, he says, I don't want to demand anything, so I go out and work. But in other places, he's saying, you need to be extravagant with your giving. In other places, he's collecting offerings for the church in Jerusalem. So we would say, like, what we do here is we honor other ministries that we are aligned with, and we sow into what they're doing so that we can have a bigger blessing or a bigger vision because of our relationship, both spiritually and financially, right? Because we want to see the kingdom extended. So we can't go to places of the world. We sow into people that are going to places in the world. Or we sow into ministries like First Choice, who are saving babies, right? You know what? You set up a shop, but you're trying to open up a store to save babies. You can't do that without money. You can't do it without money. Well, if God called me, he'll provide. Yeah? You know how he provides? He provides by people that get the vision and say, I got to sow into this. I got to produce an offering. And what we do here is when we take tithe, we take that money and we ask God, God, how should we and who should we support? And then we make decisions to support people like First Choice. Otherwise, they don't save babies without money. Yeah, maybe one or two miracles will happen, but in a larger way, it doesn't happen. And so in Jesus' day, there was what they call a temple tax. It was to provide the money to build the kingdom, both the physical structure and to support the people that were doing the ministry. And the folks, the religious folks of the day, thought they had them trapped and said, oh, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? And what did Jesus do? Say, well, I'm here now. I don't have to do that. Or I'm above that. No, he said to Peter, right? Peter went into the house where Jesus was. Before he could speak, Jesus said to him, the kings in the earth get different kinds of taxes from people. But who are those who pay taxes? Are they the king's children or do other people pay the taxes? What do you think? Peter answered, the other people pay taxes. Jesus said, then the children of the king do not have to pay taxes, but we don't want to upset the tax collectors. So do this. Go to get a fish, and when you get that fish, there'll be a coin, and pay it for you and me. Conceptually, we are children of the king, and we are exempt from the tax, but the tax is not something that we have to do in this sense. Building of the kingdom is something that we get to do. We heard the messages about Nehemiah and other ones about how our participation, right? Look, if the wall or even the temple were to be rebuilt, somebody has to invest. We could go down there and stand there and pray for 24 hours a day and say, God, build the wall. And maybe he's going to do that. I don't know. Look, the wall from Jericho came down from prayer. There are instances. I'm not ruling them out. But on a regular day-to-day basis, God is asking us to partner with him in our spirit and in our pocket and in every aspect of our life. So if Nehemiah had a bunch of people who stood around and said, yeah, I'll pray, Nehemiah, but I'm not going to dig. And I'm not going to fight. And I'm not going to build. Then the wall doesn't get built. It takes an investment. It takes us cooperating with God in what he's doing. And Jesus paid the tax himself. In the Old Testament, it was a command. But Jesus came to fulfill the law and not abolish it. He didn't come to throw away the law. He came to live it out. And there's nowhere that he tells us not to do that. In the New Testament, the tithe is an invitation to partner with God in all that he's doing. Okay, God, I receive your blessing. Okay, God, I receive the word. Okay, God, I receive the fellowship of the community, but I'm not invested. We don't give the tithe because we have to or because we expect a reward. We do it because it's one of the many ways God intends for us to build the body of believers. I just want to submit to you that if we think about why the church is in the state it's in globally and likely here, it's because we don't think this way. We don't think about how the kingdom might be built. We have these dreams in our head about how one day, you know, the harvest will just happen because God said it will. And maybe that will happen, I don't know. But in the meantime, what do we do? We live by the principles God set before us. We become cheerful givers. We become part of the plan of the kingdom, and we invest in that plan of the kingdom. Does that mean we give everything we have into the kingdom? Everything we have belongs to the kingdom. The question is, what are you doing where God's planted you? Are you invested in that place? And right now, this is the place God planted me. So for me to be here and say, God, you planted me here, and not be invested, I can't come into the fullness of what God wants for me if I'm not doing that. I just can't. I can touch the fringes of it. I can get the overflow from somebody else. But if I am not invested in all aspects of my life, I can't access the fullness of what God's given me. And again, it's not because he demands that I do it. It's because he invites me into a place where when I partner with him, I get so much in return, I don't know what to do. Not just financially, but other areas of my life. So sometimes we feel stuck. Sometimes we say, oh, I don't know what's going on, God. Things aren't working out. One thing to do is to check your giving. Some people, like this woman I just told you about, couldn't hold on to any dollar they got. Something would come up. There'd always be an emergency in her life where if she got to a certain place where she got stability and got some excess, something comes up. Oh, my daughter, this happened. I had to spend this. My son, this happened. I had to spend that. My car broke. I had to do this. It's just one thing after another. Suddenly, she says, I'm going to start tithing. And I was kind of shocked because I didn't think she could even do that. And things shifted radically in her life. And so she don't do it for that reason, though. She didn't say, oh, I probably should tithe because maybe then I'll be blessed. We don't do it for that reason. We do it because God invites us as part of the building plan, right? Think about any organization. Think about any nonprofit organization. How do they exist? Donation. You think about the Girl Scouts. They sell cookies to draw in money. You get blessed by the deliciousness of a thin mint or a shortbread. My wife up here is shouting up names. She's wondering why the Girl Scouts don't sell donuts. And, or any organization you belong to, that you go join a club. There's dues. Why are there dues? Because you got to maintain the club. And it's funny how in some parts of our life, we don't have a problem. Anybody got a Netflix subscription in the room? Huh? Nobody's sitting around complaining, well, why do I got to pay Netflix, right? You know, I mean, sometimes we are, but generally speaking, we just pay it because we want it, right? But then when we think about how we partner with God to build a kingdom and how incredibly privileged we are to be invited into that partnership and how our own inability to understand might be impacting the growth of that plan, then it's different. We think about it in a different light. So this morning, we want to think deeply about what we're doing with our resources and how we choose them. I'm not here demanding that you have to put money in the offering. God has kept us in this place in the longest time. We are not, there's no crisis here. This is not what this is about. And this is why I don't like talking about tithing. But it is a responsibility of a Christian to be invested in the kingdom expansion, right? And this is where God's told us to invest. And so that's what we're trying to do, right? So I want you to think about what that means to your life and to your family and to the generations to come. And that's why we prayed that prayer to break off some stale thinking. Sometimes we don't know, like I started out with, we don't know we're partnering with other gods. We don't realize because of inaction. You can be partnering with another god because of inaction. You say, well, I don't worship that god, but your action is not in the direction that it belongs or needs to be. And so by default, you are partnering with another god. You may not walk around and say, oh, I'm with Gad today, right? I'm hanging out with Gad today. I'm worshiping Gad. No, none of us here do that. But if your actions aren't in the direction of Jesus and his plan, then you're partnering with somebody. Amen? So this isn't a guilt trip. This is a call to say, who am I in partnering with? Where am I invested? And make sure that I'm invested in what God is doing in my territory. Now, we say, well, I know other people. I know other places, and so do we. So do I. And I try to give to them above and beyond. But this is my first responsibility right here, right? And so if I have excess, or if I want to be a sacrificial giver, then above and beyond, I can bless other ministries. I can bless other people. I can do something for somebody in need, or just bless somebody because I feel like blessing them, or I feel led to bless them by the Lord. But my first responsibility goes to the local church that I am a member of, right? All the members building up the body. And by the way, if we could get this generally in our country, I think we will see an incredible move of God. I think so many people today go to a house of worship and take. And that's okay. God wants you to be blessed with spiritual food and blessed with community and blessed with relationship when you step inside the doors of a church. But it doesn't happen by magic. It happens by God's people building the kingdom, both with prayer, with devotion, and with resources. When you believe in something, you invest in it. When God plants you somewhere, he expects you to support the body there. It is to our benefit when we sow into what God is doing. Let's do some declarations. Let's stand up. I understand the kingdom of God is built by my participation through sowing a portion of God's blessing in my life back into the body I receive from. I am a cheerful giver. Let's say that again. I am a cheerful giver. I give to the body because I love what God has done and is about to do, and I want to be invested in his economy of soul redemption. God, we thank you this morning for all that you have blessed us with, God. And God, even if we have a little, God, we're still thankful. We're still grateful. And we thank you, God, for all you've taken us through and the many times we thought we wouldn't get to tomorrow, and you got us way beyond that, God. We thank you for answers to prayer and things that happened in our life that we couldn't even explain right now, God. And we just say that you would open our eyes, God, if they need to be, around how it is that we partner with you in a greater way in this coming season, God. God, how that you have access to our life at every level, not just some levels, but every level, God. And we just ask, God, that we would be right stewards of whatever comes into this house, God, that it would go back out and it would produce much in your name, God. We bless the places that we've been able to bless, and we ask, God, that in this year and going forward, we'd be able to double those blessings, God, and go way beyond where we ever thought we could go. And we bless our city right now, God. And we say this will be a house of resource to this city. In Jesus' name, amen.